Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line from the Are You Serious Network covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, we have on with us Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. At least you ain't got to worry about covering the LSU this evening, but you'll have a lot of LSU Ole Miss talk in the next 7 days. So thanks for joining us, Blake. In looking at it, I think the loss to Kentucky has put a different spin on this LSU Ole Miss game. Man, a lot of people thought Ole Miss would kind of roll this into Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, undefeated. They would take care of business against Kentucky, win today against South Carolina. But that weekend loss last Saturday to Kentucky has put a different spin on LSU Ole Miss.
No doubt, Mike, and I appreciate you having me on. And look, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, Mike, when they were going to play Kentucky. Look, you're facing three really physical football teams. They're about to kick the ball off and face another really physical football team in South Carolina. And Mike, there's a trend going on in college football right now. The teams that have been tested early in the SEC have been able to show their physicality. I mean, A&M just put as Bobby Boucher would say, a can of you-know-what on them. So I think, Mike, that you're right. It has shown that. I'm starting to question some of the physicality on some of these teams. But, look, man, I mean, Kentucky took it to them. But Ole Miss in about 12 minutes about to find out if they can revamp what people thought of them.
And Ole Miss is coming in here sort of beat up. They got a number of guys out. I know the Prince up front, he won't play against South Carolina. The one thing we saw against the Gamecocks, man, their front four is pretty doggone good. Now on the back end, it's not so hot, and they couldn't throw the football worth a lick in the second half once their quarterback went down. So can you take advantage of people's negatives? And I think that's going to be the key here when South Carolina plays Ole Miss, because we saw last week, if you don't bring your A game, and Kentucky came to play. They got a little bit of luck at the end with a fumble and the kind of ball bounced right to that guy in for the score. Despite the fact Ole Miss didn't play well, they needed a little bit of football luck, and sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good at that stage of the game. But I didn't think Jackson Dart played very well last week at all, and he was trying to hit the big play downfield. Deuce brought it up about instead of maybe taking the short stuff, he was always looking to hit the home run.
No doubt. And Mike, too, another thing, they were 0-for-4 on third down trying to run the football with the running backs. You know, what's going on with Henry Parrish? I mean, I'm sure we're about to find that on. So I think even run the football in critical situations, you can't. Look, another big thing is Kentucky was able to get him off the field on third down, which I know Lane likes going for it on fourth. But Dart was 13 of 22 on rush attempts. I mean, I know he got sacked a pair of times by Octavius Octane, but, I mean, look, that interior front, at least to me, and seeing him against, worthy interior with Kentucky, I mean, that's got to be a little bit worrisome. And, look, we've seen South Carolina, Mike. I mean, they got some guys. Now, the only thing is, going into this Ole Miss game right now, South Carolina is 132nd out of 133 teams in sacks allowed this year. And if any fan base knows that if they can get at them, it's completely LSU. So I wonder, Henry Parrish is dressed out. If he can go, hopefully they can run the football for them. But that would be the big thing for me in this game going into it.
Well, when you look at it, I don't.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if Henry Parrish is even the best back on the team.
I agree with you,
The best back hadn't played probably in the last five games for Ole Miss, and I don't know what's exactly going on. He had an opportunity to come out last year and didn't do so, and so that's Bentley, who, like I said, he came back for another year. He was probably, when you talk about the Thunder and Lightning with Ole Miss and Judkins and what they had with Bentley, Bentley is the more explosive back. Parrish doesn't give them the explosion. I think that what you'll see from talking to people up in Oxford, you're going to see a lot more focused team. And I don't know if they were 100% focused and locked in on Kentucky last week. I think that you're going to see the team that they want to be against South Carolina. And I know South Carolina is a talented football team, but I think that you're going to see a talented team now. When Ole Miss went up there a couple years ago, South Carolina put it on them.
Yep.
South Carolina put it on.
Sure did.
And one thing that we know, being a Beamer, one thing that they've always done is special teams. So look for something special team-wise, whether we're talking about a fake or go for it or something like that. You talked about how Lane likes to go for it on fourth down situations. But, you know, look for Carolina to try to pull something off special teams-wise. But I think you're going to see a lot more focused team, this Ole Miss team, than they were necessarily against Kentucky.
You know, just to bring up an interesting point, it felt like the lack of intensity wasn't there last week too, right? And I think that's a big point. Now, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm sure that they're going to have it. You know, Lane normally responds pretty heavy. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't Deuce, I'm sorry I'm on y'all's show and asking you a question. Why isn't he playing Bentley, in your opinion?
Something internal. I mean, yep. They necessarily hadn't said it. It's always going to be, hey, it's the coach's decision, not necessarily the head coach's decision. He's leaving it on the position coach. And, you know, I don't know exactly what it is. I just know it's something internal.
Now, so you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, Blake, what in your opinion, you know, when you could do running back by committee, but then you have a go-to back, Caden Durham. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, finally they had a game where we're at ease, you know, the 42-10 win over South Alabama. But 128 yards on the ground, 89 yards receiving, and two touchdowns, all in the first half. I mean, so what is your take on him? I think you have to feed him. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting that, boy, I said this brought back some memories. When he scored on LSU's first offensive play, it was the first time a Tiger had scored a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage when Dalton Hilliard, back in 1982, he had a 16-yard touchdown run against Ole Miss. They had fumbled the opening kickoff, and then Dalton ended up scoring on the first play. So, you know, when you come out with a momentum backbreaker like that, I mean, while you're setting the tone, and it seems like Durham says, I'm the back. You can do it by committee, but you got to give him my touches.
Yeah, you got to give him more touches. And Bobby, in my opinion, not just touches in the running game. You know, like what he's doing in the passing game. Look, this is a question that I had this week. Bobby, who was the last Tiger in back-to-back games to have receiving touchdowns from a running back? Now, I think it's John Emery, okay? But remember in that 22 season when John had some critical plays for you when you won the West? Remember the wheel route against Alabama? The first catch or first Daniels touchdown when he went off on Florida in that 22 year. Well, John might have not been even a feature back, but what did you have success in? You had success because you do have big body receivers on the outside that can block, along with the tight end that can block. And I think getting him just touches in the passing game, I mean, that kid's as explosive as a Looney Tunes commercial. Okay, like that kid can really play. So I think that in and of itself, just giving him touches has been a big deal for them too. And he's going to keep doing it. Now, Bobby, I will say, you know, he's on the injury. He's going to be on the injury report come Wednesday, and it's going to be a toe thing. So I don't know if he's 100%, but I feel confident he's going to go next week against Ole Miss.
What about Chris Hilton?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Hilton? Talk about 100%. I mean – You look at the deep threat. I think he brings that. I mean, he's almost like with the Saints.
Kendra Miller.
It's like, are you on the team, dude?
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, if you asked me today to put money on it, I'd say he doesn't go against Ole Miss. Now, I don't think that he goes. I think that there's been a little bit of a setback. You know, look, we've had our dealings with Chris, and I love him as a player. If you asked me today if he was going next Saturday, I'd say no. But if you asked me on Wednesday, I think that might change. I don't think at the current moment that they feel confident that he's going to go.
Now, what is your take? I don't know how LSU's defense can get better when you lose your two best defensive players to injury for the season. And I want to talk about the linebacker core. Look at Harold Perkins. But it seems like, you know, you get experience and you get confidence of that when you look at Greg Penn and Whit Weeks, well, I know they combined to have 23 tackles, 11 solo, 1.5 tackles for loss, a couple of hurries. What do you think at with that linebacking core without Harold Perkins? Because they have experience. But how about as far as experience and being able to accomplish things with LSU's defense needs?
All I know is Whit Weeks is a player.
Okay.
He is a player.
No doubt. Well, and I think, too, and I'm not, Harold is a great player, and I'm not saying that his absence is any form of being, in my humble opinion, like he shouldn't be on the field and you don't need him on the field. It felt like that they were actually running defenses that they wanted to call without having to specialize doing things with him, right? I felt like they were forcing things with him, like USC, when they're putting him in you have a 13 personnel by USC and you're putting him in the middle of that defense. I don't know if that was beneficially great for him, but I mean, look, last week was the best linebacker play that we've seen in a little bit of a minute, maybe since Baskerville. Look, they combined for, what was it, 25, 26 tackles, combined. So they played great last week against a really good running back and a really good running quarterback. So I'm not discrediting Harold at all, but they have gotten better in that star, quote-unquote, role that they're trying to roll out and do. I just think that they're going to continue to get better there because of Weeks. And look, I thought Xavier Atkins, a young freshman, came in and looked really good too. That kid can really fly.
Now, Blake, you look, obviously, Ole Miss. You have to look who they're playing. Boy, they got humbled, to say the least, against Kentucky. You know, look, they were averaging, 670 yards per game, almost 9 yards per play. All of a sudden, they play Kentucky. They get 353 yards, 6.3 yards per play. And I think what Lane was to do, you know, that up-tempo, stopping the run, controlling the line of scrimmage, that was Kentucky's able to do. And if they could do that, then they have the explosive pass plays. Like I said, they want to run the ball with rhythm and tempo. But I thought it was interesting. Look what happened to Ole Miss and how they crushed LSU. I mean, it was like 706 yards, 55 points. But I look what happened when Ole Miss played Alabama and Georgia, and very similar to Kentucky. Look at Ole Miss' run game. It went away, or I should say they tend to struggle as an offense if they can't run the ball. They had only 56 yards rushing against Alabama. And then you look at – now, they did rush for 179 yards against Georgia, but their Junkins, their starting running back, he only averaged 3.4 yards a carry. And Ole Miss in those two games scored 27 points combined. It's only losses of the season. And I brought this up early in the show with Deuce and Mike, that Ole Miss is 1-4 in the Kiffin era when they rush for less than 100 yards. So I can tell you right now, if they get less than 100 yards, there's no way LSU ain't winning. They'd have to almost just turn over the ball simply because Lane Kiffin, that people think it's all like chunk plays and throwing the ball down the field and all that. No, Lane Kiffin was to push the envelope up tempo and be able to run. And if you can't stop that train, then LSU's going to be in trouble.
The problem is LSU has given up chunk plays in the running game.
Yeah.
Not only in the pass, but also in the running game.
Well, you know, the good thing about the chunk plays, you know, talking about South Carolina, those are massive blown assignments. You know, like it's not like our D-line was getting pushed off the ball like it was last year. Look, it's the best thing that they do defensively, ironically, is stopping the run, and even though they've given up those explosive plays. You know, I mean, They're 44th in the country in stopping the run. I don't know if they can stop Ole Miss. I mean, we're going to find out. But, man, it just being out of alignment has really hurt them defensively in the run game. But you're right. If Ole Miss can't run the football, they can't win. But here's the good thing. If I would have told y'all, any one of you, in any two-game stretch during the season, even if it was Nichols or whoever, that they would have pulled two straight opponents under 150 yards rushing, you would have taken. Right? Like, and
right.
So they've done that in the last 2 weeks.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, and look, I think that there's no bigger compliment than Brian Kelly on the personality and person that he is. When he talks about Ahmad Bro, you can't cut on that All-22 copy and not tell me that Ahmad Bro, the freshman, hasn't played. He's not making the plays. However, he's fundamentally sound in everything that he does. He's not getting pushed off the ball. Those are the small things that he's done that's helped him in the running game so far this year defensively.
And when he came in, 235, and he had put on all that weight, he was light.
I'll give you $10,000 if he was 235. That kid,
he's a lot bigger
white.
Blake.
The kid said, Whataburger.
Now, Blake, you know, I always say this, no matter what level, I guess high school that wouldn't be the case, but college and even the NFL, you never want to be the man to replace the man. And you look, all of a sudden, LSU's more QBU instead of DBU. I'd say they turn into wide receiver U. But you look at, like, two Heisman winners. And then you look what Garrett Nussmeier's doing. To me, he's not getting enough credit. I mean, look at LSU's offense. Now, he sometimes gets a little reckless. He had a couple of interceptions. Now, despite that, he still, against South Alabama, had 409 yards passing, 4 total touchdowns, 5 different players, had at least 3 receptions. So he's spreading the ball around. So is Garrett Nussmeier getting enough credit? Because you might say, like, oh, we need a more maybe mobile quarterback. But I think he's proven that here LSU again has another NFL quarterback at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, you know it better than I do. I mean, I think he's done some exceptional things. You can't take that away from him. The only thing that I want to see, though, more, Bobby, for me personally, is the best defenses that he's faced ever. He's put the ball in very critical situations that could have lost you the football game.
Gotcha.
You know, like, for me, right? Like, I mean, so you had the pick six that got called back. You lose the game if not, right? Like,
against South Carolina, yep.
Against South Carolina. Well, then, I mean, look, I know it's 50 seconds left on the clock against USC. I get that. It's a tough position to go down and score. He throws in a double coverage and the ball gets picked off. Those are the small things. I mean, like, now look, I mean, he's in what? This is a 6 game starting? What am I complaining about? You know? but the only thing is that when, you know, like, there are times when the ball is in the air, I'm like, uh-oh, please don't go the other way. But, I mean, other than that, now I'm really being nitpicky. So to your point, he's been exceptional. But, I mean, if you want to be very nitpicky, I guess you could talk about those turnovers.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on. And, man, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Blake.
See y'all next time. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
All righty. That was Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network covering the LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.